From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. During the pandemic, a couple of things happened in the Treasure Valley. A lot of people couldn't pay their rent due to illness or losing their job, or there were other factors. And the cost of rent in the area skyrocketed as the housing crunch in the Treasure Valley continued to grow out of control. And those factors led to an unprecedented number of people who were facing eviction. So that's when the University of Idaho College of Law, along with the nonprofit group Jesse Tree, got together to create a housing clinic to help folks stay in their rentals. Well, we wanted to see how this clinic is doing. So we invited Jason Dykstra, a U of I law professor who directs the housing clinic, as well as Morgan DeCarl, the eviction court program manager at Jesse Tree, and Gavin Gilbert, a University of Idaho student who works in that clinic, on Idaho Matters so that we could talk more about this. I want to welcome all of you to the program.
Thank you, Cameron.
So how did the housing clinic get started? Didn't this come about back in 2021 after the Supreme Court rejected an eviction ban during the COVID-19 pandemic? And Jason, maybe you could answer that.
Yes, we were in the planning stages and we wanted our students to be as effective as possible, as quickly as possible. And that's why we partnered with Jesse Tree just as the moratorium was lifted.
Mm. So I'm curious then, how exactly does the clinic work? So, I mean, what kind of help does the clinic provide?
Well, the clinic serves a number of roles, but as part of our collaboration, what we really provide are students with limited licenses to practice law, and the students are in eviction court in Ada and Canyon County Tuesdays and Thursdays, basically every session, ready to jump into mediations and help try to get cases resolved. And that's where the funding and assistance from Jesse Tree really comes into play, because they have the resource.
A fancy background.
And so, Gavin, can I bring you into the conversation? Because how then, I mean, you're one of these students, I'm assuming, who then goes into eviction court. Walk us through kind of what that looks like on a weekly basis.
Yeah. So the process is pretty similar between the different counties and court systems. There'll be eviction court. There's a calendar that we'll do and attend. And then the justices in the system in those courts are pretty good at managing these evictions. So we'll break out into mediation groups. The court has assigned mediators. And the different parties will meet in those mediation groups. And then we just help fill a role, help those negotiations move along, propose ideas. But then through that collaboration with Jesse Tree, we have some limited funding that's available to help those that may be low income and need rental assistance. And that's going to solve the issue,
Gavin,
for both parties.
And Gavin, I'm curious, what is that like for you to be going into court like this? Did you recognize or realize before you started doing this, you know, just how widespread this issue is?
Yeah, a little bit. I have prior to law school, I had experience in the housing industry and the political side of things. And so it was an interesting perspective to come in now on the legal side of things, particularly as a student, you know, trying to learn and grow and just kind of take it all in. So it's been an interesting perspective that way. I like playing this third party role because you do see a lot of collaboration. You see, you know, there's a big gap between landlords' needs, landlords' desires and wants, and the things that they need to respond to. And then just, you know, the realities that is, you know, the current economy, particularly for housing affordability and for low income tenants and the struggles they face. And it's an awesome opportunity to go in and fill that gap, because it's a big gap. And it's awesome to be able to do that.
So, Jason, can you talk a little bit then about the assistance that Jesse Tree gives the clinic? Is this how you are able to help folks pay their rent? Do you work with the landlords? What does that look like?
Yeah, Exactly. We, you know, collaborate because Jesse Tree has the funding, but there's a lot more to it. They also have a lot of great resources and can provide a lot of support to tenants during their time of need. But from our perspective, it's just great to have a group of students who are in court, getting that experience, participating in mediations, you know, day in and day out. And that's the real benefit to us. But then also Jesse Tree, out of the relationship, they've served as a great referral source where we also have, you know, cases that we pursue independently. And more often than not, those are cases that spin out of someone has applied for services with Jesse Tree.
So Morgan, let me bring you into the conversation since you are you are the eviction court program manager at Jesse Tree. First, how bad is the eviction problem in the Treasure Valley?
So we saw a huge increase in the number of eviction filings from 2020, 2021, to 2022. So just kind of to put it into perspective, we fielded almost 35,000 application calls to our tenant resource center, which is our main line for people to call and apply. That number does not include the number of applicants that found online applications with us. That's just the number of phone calls. There were also 1,172 hearings that actually went to court and were seen before the judge. And Jesse Tree was able to assist in about 23% of those cases. So about 274 cases, we were able to get in and assist in mediation.
So Morgan, what's it been like to have this partnership with the University of Idaho where you can have, you know, actual law students who are able to go into court and help mediate these situations? Because I can only imagine how intimidating this can be for folks. I mean, not only are they, you know, struggling, right? And then they're trying to make sure they stay housed. They're already in such a high level of stress. And then you add on, now you have to go to court.
Yeah, so we assist in eviction court in a number of ways. So we have clients that call in ahead of time and they inform us that they have court and are assigned to case managers. And oftentimes those case managers attend mediation with them. Everyone here at Jesse Tree has received mediation training. So we are all able to go in and use those mediation skills in court. Then we also do in-court intervention for individuals that we've never seen that just decide to invite Jesse Tree, or the mediators at the court invite us into the mediation. So also having the housing clinic as part of that process with us to help advocate and support clients in mediation is really invaluable because it really adds additional bodies for support in that room for mediation to try to get an alternative solution for clients rather than just going before the judge. So without the housing clinic, you know, we would be really desperate for the number of people to be able to go in and do that advocacy.
And Morgan, talk about, I mean, you mentioned, I mean, how many cases you've seen, how many folks have come through Jesse Tree just in the last couple of years. But talk a little bit, if you can, about the cost of renting a place, because that has also gone up so much over the last couple of years. Yet, even if a person is working, paychecks have not grown at the same rate.
Yeah, so interestingly enough, Boise, I'm not sure currently, but a few months ago, there was an article that was put out stating that Boise was considered the least affordable city in North America alone. And that takes into account, of course, the cost of living, and as that is relative to the median income, that people receive. And there's such a huge disparity there. So the affordability is not there. Rent increased in the past couple years, roughly 40% from what it was before. And we know that, over 50% of the population pays more than their 30% average in rent costs based on their income. So most people are paying closer to, 40 and 50% of their income on their rent. For a two-bedroom apartment, the fair market value is $1,118. And wow. We are seeing rent for a two-bedroom place be upwards of, I would say on average, $1,400, $1,500, $1,600 for those two bedrooms. And then for anything above that, three bedrooms, four bedrooms, it's closer to $2,000 or even above $2,000.
I am only guessing that all of you have heard some pretty heart-wrenching stories. And Gavin, since you are going into court so often, is there anything, without, sharing people's identities, that has stuck with you in some of the stories that you've heard?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of specifics. There, we're doing multiple of these a week, right, where we're helping individuals. I'd say the ones that stick with you are individuals that are right on the cusp of being on their feet and being, kind of being in a really good spot, but for these charges. There's dozens of individuals who have lost employment, were laid off, were sick, have been hospitalized, and so they haven't worked for, a couple of months and fallen behind on multiple payments, but housing being the largest. And they've since regained employment, working through those things, and are in a really good position to have really prosperous lives moving forward. But just, if this eviction goes through, you're kind of SOL from that point forward. And difficult to find housing once you've been evicted, attorney's cost, all of that starts adding up very, very quickly. And so we're able to negotiate, waivers of late fees, some of those things, and then work with landlords, say, hey, how can we assist in this? And kind of following up with those individuals towards the end, just you could almost see a weight lifted from shoulders. Is, hey, this is doable. This past amount is going to be waived. We're getting into some of this negotiated, and there's kind of hope. And so that is there's not an individual story along those lines I can think of, just almost because that happens so frequently. There's dozens and dozens every month of individuals that have very similar stories to that.
Yeah. So there's this theme, as you're saying. Let's talk about some of the consequences of someone being evicted. I think Gavin made such a good point that so many of the people that go through this clinic are on the verge of being able to have an incredibly prosperous life because they do have work, they are housed, but maybe they've had an event where they haven't been able to pay the rent for a couple of months. And so they're in this situation. So do the folks you work with face homelessness, if they get kicked out of their rentals? Because as you mentioned, not only the cost of rentals, it's hard to find rentals.
So there's a lot of factors that go into the, the consequences and challenges of having an eviction on your record. Right now, what we're seeing is that application fees to even apply to many of the apartment complexes or rentals in the area are, $50 to $150 per application fee. I would say about an average of about $75 to apply each time you apply for a place. And a lot of the times that application fee is applied to every adult who is going to be on the lease in the home. So, you know, if you apply to more than one place, you're looking at hundreds of dollars going into applying for a new place to live. Many agencies who manage apartment complexes or standalone rentals are charging also, you know, needing income for the family to be, you know, three or four times, even sometimes upwards of six times the actual rent amount in order to even be approved for the apartment. So there goes the, you know, huge gap between people's wages and what they're earning annually and what the affordability of the rental is. So it makes it really hard. When you add on an eviction judgment to the process and trying to get into something new, it just makes it 10 times harder in order to find something because you have so many applicants ahead of you who may have better credit, who don't have eviction judgments on their record. And those people are going to be considered before anyone who does have that record. A lot of the times, if you do have an eviction judgment on your record, you're not going to be considered for housing in that sense, or you're going to be charged even more because of it. So that's one huge consequence. The other is something that we're facing because the rental assistance is through the Idaho Finance Association and the Boise City, Ada County. Their federal funds are starting to be done, and their second rounds are not as much as the first. So we're facing this fiscal cliff where we're not able to assist as much monetarily. And the need is still just the same as before. So we're facing something pretty scary coming forward with these eviction numbers.
And Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, but did you work with one client who was a victim of domestic violence who almost ended up on the streets when her alleged abuser was arrested? So what happened? I mean, this is like no fault of her own, but I would make the assumption that maybe that person was the person paying the rent.
No, they were both. Yes, we did work with a person who is in that situation. Uh-huh. And she was the victim of domestic violence perpetrated by a spouse who was arrested, taken away from the apartment, but the landlord in the lease had placed a crime-free lease provision. And so not only was she the victim of domestic violence, 2 days later, she received a notice that she was being evicted. And it was a great opportunity for us to collaborate with another group in town, Intermountain Fair Housing Council. And we were able to push back on the fair housing implications of that eviction. And we're able to get the landlord to back down and let the tenant remain in her apartment. So it was a collaborative win all around to let her have that security of housing as opposed to not only being the victim of a crime, but also homeless.
Yeah. Morgan, what kind of success has this collaboration had in keeping people housed?
It's had great success. We have been able to develop, you know, the relationship between the University of Idaho as well as Jesse Tree to make sure that the work that we're doing within the court system, you know, we have the support, because without the support, we are not able to do the work or do it in the capacity that we would like to. University of Idaho and Jason with the law clinic, we've been able to get also some additional ideas going as far as some projects to work on that are going to really greatly benefit the population of renters in the Treasure Valley and get some resources out there for individuals so that when they're looking into housing and getting into rentals, they've got information as well as support that they can access. And without the housing clinic, you know, we wouldn't be able to put that out there. So it's been a really great relationship to have.
Mm-hmm. And are you able to have the clinic continue, Morgan?
Yes, we're going to, you know, continue as long as the funding is there, of course, and hopefully that continues because the work for Jesse Tree is really important and it's really valuable to have that support. And also, you know, Gavin can speak to this as far as like what he's able to get for, you know, himself and skills that we've, you know, been able to offer for the clinic that's kind of like in that reciprocal relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Jason, is it true that the work that the University of Idaho has been doing with keeping people housed has actually gotten a nod from the White House and the Justice Department?
Yes, it is. Last year, we were honored amongst a group of law schools in a White House ceremony in January for our work on the clinic and responding to a call to action, not only for practicing attorneys, but also for legal educators that was issued by Merrick Garland.
Wow. Gavin, what has it been like for you being able to have this hands-on experience and working in the clinic?
I think there's kind of two things that come to mind. First is we're so involved weekly with actual court proceedings where you're talking to judges, you're talking to court mediators, you're talking to opposing counsel. You don't get that experience in a lot of fields of law, particularly as a law mm-hmm. student. A lot of your time is going to be spent researching, writing, drafting, some of those types of things. So it gives you a lot of familiarity and comfort with the judicial process in a unique way that way. Second is the other big kind of takeaway in that question is it gives you very kind of real consequential understanding of kind of what you're doing. Again, back to what a lot of even junior attorneys are doing, you don't really see the consequences of your work, right? You may be fighting for justice, you may be fighting for something, but it's going to be months, years even till that's delivered. But here we're getting, every day it's different people and you can see, hey, this is the importance of the legal profession. This is the importance of, you know, it's about people. It's not about the law in a lot mm-hmm. of ways. It is, but it's about how the law affects those people. And so it's been really unique and really educational in that way.
So before we wrap up, Morgan, what can people do if they need help or if they want maybe to help out?
So if people are seeking assistance or they know that they're not going to be able to pay their rent in the future, I would say my biggest piece of advice is to talk to your landlord. Have that open communication early on is the most important thing that so many people don't do because they're afraid. And oftentimes that's a trauma response that we have as we just kind of stick our head in the sand or don't take the action because we're afraid that by taking action, it's going to actually make things worse. But something we hear so often from landlords is, well, no one ever talked to me. So the biggest thing is to have that open communication early on. And there are resources available out there. And seeking the assistance is not something to be ashamed of in any way. Everyone gets into a hard place in life at any given time. And so they can call our tenant resource center where we will not only take applications, but we also guide people to the best possible solution for their problem and offer a lot of troubleshooting with that. And then if people are looking to help us help the community, again, the tenant resource center, you can give a call to us to say, hey, I'm interested in volunteering. And our front end works mostly on our dedicated volunteers. So we wouldn't be able to function as an agency without the many people who contribute their time to volunteering. And then, of course, the last thing is to donate. So we're always accepting donations. The money that we receive is used, you know, to provide these services and to expand services. So absolutely.
Well, I want to thank all of you for the work that you do and for coming on our program to talk more about it. We've been talking about the University of Idaho College of Law Housing Clinic with Jason Dykstra, a University of Idaho law professor who directs the clinic, Morgan DeCarl, the eviction court program manager at Jesse Tree, and Gavin Gilbert, a U of I student who works in the clinic. Thank you all so much for your time.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This new year, LifeKit wants to help you succeed because everyone needs a little help being human.
It can seem so overwhelming. You're not alone.
Who can I commit to being?
If you want to do something, then just do it. Just take that first step.
Great advice every week. Listen to LifeKit from NPR.